These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
The Sidra Vayigash is one of the most emotion-laden parshios in the entire Torah. And let's begin at the beginning, because as we will see, there is a major problem to be tackled in the narrative. Vayigash elav Yehuda, vayomer bi Adoni, yedaberno avdecho dovor biyozne Adoni, v'yalicha lapecho biyavdecho, kichomocho kefaro. Says Rashi, v'yalicha lapecho, mikana tolomeid, from here you can deduce, shediber elav koshos, that Yehuda spoke to Yosef in a very aggressive manner. Shedibeir elov koshos. Now, as you can appreciate, there doesn't seem to be very much problem with that, because obviously he is most perturbed. But let's go back now to the end of last week's Sidra. Pasuk Tes Zayin. The cup or the goblet is found in the sack of Binyamin. And the brothers go back, Vayomer Yehuda, and Yehuda says, Man omar ladoni, man edabiru, man itzadok. Ho elokim motso es avon avodecho, hinenu avodim ladoni, gam anachnu gam asher nimtso hagoviya biyodo. What can we say? We are reconciled to our fate, we are to become slaves to you. That is verse 16. See, Yehuda is speaking in a manner which seems to imply that he understands that by rights, Yosef, or whoever the ruler is, has a claim, and they are now culpable, as a result of which they are reconciled to their fate. Two psukim later, Mikana Tolomeid Shediber Elov Koshos. What was in the mind of Yehuda that he agreed that they should all be slaves? And what made him change his mind and put on a more aggressive stance? In order to answer that question, we look into the Perush of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh at the end of last week's Sidra on Pasuk Tes Zayin. I mention again, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is long but not long-winded. A lot to say, and we will see a particular theme of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which I drew your attention to in Parshas Vayeshev, rearing its head yet again. So Yehuda says, Ma nomar ladoni. Now there are many verbs used, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains like this. Yehuda says to Yosef, Ma nomar ladoni, perush, amiro bederech ritzui. How can we pacify you? Manedabeir, meaning Gibor Koshi Bederech Milchama. How can we even confront you with arguments which will defeat you? Manitzadok, how can we declare ourselves to be innocent? Perish b'mishpot im novolifnei dayonim. In other words, we have no words at the moment. We are completely at a loss. Ki ein miflot lohem b'chulam. Whatever we would try to say will not extricate us from the situation in which we now find ourselves. And we are therefore convinced, says Yehuda, the ein ze elomaisa elokim hema lihipora mehem avonom kishemotso ligvos chovo. Our opinion as brothers is that the reason why this entire episode has come upon us is because it has been decreed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should pay and we should be punished for the sin in which we were all involved. Ho Elokim motza es avon avodecha. We sold our brother. God is now punishing us for this. And you are the instrument of God's punishment. That is why there is nothing that we can say, because we realize the origins of what is happening now are not as a result of your decision. You are the agent. The origins are in heaven, and it was decreed on us because of what we did to our brother. And since this sin, which we believe is now being visited upon us, was one in which we were all culpable, therefore we understand that justice demands hinenu avodim ladoni, that we should all pay for this particular crime. Then let us look at the section gam anachnu. In other words, perush hagam shelo nimtza biyadeinu hageneva. We are the ones who acknowledge that the sin is the sin of Mechilas Yosef, as a result of which, even though the brothers besides Binyamin were not involved because the goblet was only found in Binyamin's sack, but nevertheless, we understand why this has happened to us, and therefore gam anachnu, even we who have not been involved in this matter, because the, as I say, the goblet was found by Binyamin, we understand that we have to pay. V'yomero. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Gam asher nimtza hagaviyah biyado. Even the one in whose sack the goblet was found will have to pay. Aye, what's the chiddush by Binyamin? The chiddush by Binyamin is that he wasn't even involved in Mechilas Yosef. So therefore, gam anachnu, that we should be involved in this particular matter and have to pay the penalty, is no chiddush, because we know that the sin is ours of having sold Yosef. But in regards to Binyamin, even he will have to pay. Letzad she'ha'avon she'hukar etzlam ein Binyamin bichlal ho'avon. Aye, in regards to this particular sin, Binyamin was not included. That's why they had to say, gam asher nimtza. In other words, he is going to be punished by osmosis, because he happens to have been with us. Therefore, he will be punished. Had he been on his own, the Almighty would never have punished him, because he wasn't involved in the sin. But now that he is together with us, that's why he is being punished. That's why he had to single out Binyamin even after he said, Gam anachnu. But even the Binyamin, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Shinayetzim Yeveshim Vechadrotuv, if you have two dry twigs and one moist one, and you set fire to the dry ones, the moist one is also set on fire. The theme again, osmosis. V'kivan shikulam nilkedu ba'avonam v'hu hayo imohem. And since they are now the brothers being punished by the Almighty for the sin of Mechilas Yosef, V'hu hayoi mohem, and he is with them, is nilkad b'shechiso sam. So he is caught up in the punishment which is going to come to them. So therefore, at this particular moment in time, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the brothers are reconciled to their fate, because they are convinced that the entire episode has been engineered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order that they be punished for the sin of selling Yosef. And therefore Yosef is an agent. The origins are in heaven. Aye, Binyamin is also caught up here, and he wasn't involved in the sale. He is caught up by association, but not because he in any way was guilty. Then the Or HaChaim says on Pasuk Yud Zayin, that Yosef replies to them, Vayomer cholil oli miasosus. No, no. Far be it from me, says Yosef, to do this. The one in whose hand the goblet was found, he will be my slave. And as far as you're concerned, alulah shalom, that's it. Says the Or HaChaim. Perush. The reply of Yosef is as follows. Im Hashem motzo lochem avon. If you are convinced that you have a sin, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish you at some time or other for that sin, anilo oduna ladover. That's got nothing to do with me. You think you got a din tailor with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's your business. I got no business with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonus. Elo al mashin is galalimi amishmot atzedek. I am only judging the matter as I see it before me. The alchet there, and all I see is somebody with my goblet. And if somebody's got my goblet, then Hoisha Shinim Tsar, etc., etc., Yihyeli Eved V'yatrem Aluli Shalom. I want him, I don't want you. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Ei Bazei, Ubozeh Nochodati. If that is indeed the true interpretation of the conversation between Yehuda and Yosef, now I understand, Bameh Sheroani, when I see Shediber Yehuda Kadavorim Hoele, I see now that Yehuda, in verse 16, was convinced, Kizeh Yagid Kikolu Lo Divrei Pius V'Kibel HaMishpot. Now I can understand why it is in verse 16, Yehuda was reconciled to their fate. And in verse 18, Yehuda was going to war with Yosef. What happened in between? I understand well now on the basis of my analysis of their conversation. It goes very well. According to the way we understand, everything fits in. In verse 16, Yehuda was speaking to Yosef and was convinced that everything that was happening to them was happening on account of the sale of Yosef. And therefore they were being punished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yosef. And therefore they were reconciled to their fate. But now that Yosef says to Yehuda, I don't want the brothers. I want Binyamin. And I want Binyamin alone. So when Yehuda saw that Yosef only wants Binyamin levad, Omar, so he said to himself, so I can rest assured now that Binyamin is being taken not for any sin that was committed by him. He wasn't involved with us in the sale, and apart from that particular item, they are all tzaddikim. So therefore, says Yehuda, now if Binyamin is being taken, it's a sign that what Yosef is saying is not carrying out a decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umeyato omad hadavor letzad v'chiras habechiri, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Yehuda says, you know what Yosef is doing? Yosef is a classic example of what I said in Parshas Vayeshev, that a man can go against the decrees of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a result of his own inhumanity to man. And therefore, says Yehuda, now that he only wants Binyamin, now I know that it's a cruel man I am standing up against. Not an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as I thought before in verse 16. But a man who is willing to take measures against an individual who is totally blameless and against whom no decree has been made from heaven is Memele Vayigash Elov Yehuda. It's a very, very powerful assessment of what it is that is going through Yehuda and the brothers' minds, because as you know from Parshas Miketz, they are haunted by this particular event which they originally considered they had acted correctly in, and then as matters develop, they begin to have their doubts. Let me just raise one question on the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, not on his basic thesis, but something just to draw your attention to. I haven't found an answer to it yet, but anyway, I'll leave it with you. Yehuda is convinced, originally, that the sin which is being visited on them is the sin of the sale of Yosef. I ask the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, if the sin is the sale of Yosef, then how come Binyamin would be punished as well? On that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh answered, by association. Let me now refer you to a comment of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in the middle of Parshas Miketz, in Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Okay. As you may recall, the brothers are accused of being spies, and they are put into jail. And while they are languishing there, the pasuk reads, Vayomeru ish el achiv, And each man said to his brother, Avol Hashemim Anachnu Alochinu. We are all guilty. You know why we're here? Because we are guilty concerning our brother, Asher Roinu Tzoras Nafsho, because we looked on the sadness of his soul, Pihischanano Eleinu, when he pleaded with us, Velo Shomanu, and we didn't listen to him. Al Kain Bo'o Eleinu Hatzolo Azoth. That is why we are in this trouble. Now, the Yorachayim HaKadosh has a kasha. They did not say, you know why we're here? Because we sold our brother. Didn't say that. Says we're in this pit because he pleaded with us when we threw him into the pit. And we didn't listen. So the Yorachayim's kasha is, why didn't they immediately conclude that the reason why they were here was not because he pleaded with them, but because they sold him? Says the Or HaChaim in Posuk Chof Aleph, in the section which begins, O Yirtse Al Zeh HaDerech. Says the Or HaChaim, I would like to give you an explanation as to why they suspected that it was because of the pleading to which they did not listen and not the actual sale. Because when they saw that all of them landed up in this prison, so they started to ask themselves, we must be here because of something we have done wrong. And since the item which was continually on their minds was the sale of Joseph, so they would automatically have assumed that the reason why they're being persecuted in this way is because they sold him. But why didn't they conclude that? You know why? Because motze ustira ladover. Because if it was for the sale, and that's why they were being persecuted in this way, there would be an inbuilt contradiction in their situation. Why? Mitzad Reuven shenit pasi mohem v'lu v'hu lo hoya besoch hamochrim. Because if they were being punished for the sale, then how come Reuven was being punished as well, since he was not involved in the sale? So my cash is a simple one. If at the end of Parshas Miketz, Or HaChaim can suggest that Yehuda assumed that they were being punished for the sale of Joseph, even though Binyamin was not involved, but Binyamin with the dry twigs, wet twig, was being punished by association. So why, according to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, could the brothers not have assumed that they are also being punished by being put in the pit for having sold Yosef? Why is Reuven in here if he didn't sell? By association. So there seems to be a stira between these two comments of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but I haven't found a teretz. And as Reb Leib Gurevitz Zatzal used to say, besser a guten kasha via schlechten teretz. So we leave it at that particular juncture at the moment. Okay. Now, let's go back to the pasuk with which we began, the first pasuk of our siddur. You'll be pleased to hear I do have intentions to move from it eventually. Here, I would like to emphasize a point which I have made to various people during the course of previous weeks. The purpose of our sessions on Monday evening is to explore beyond what I used to call the traditional vertel, to go into some of the basic issues which are at the core of Limud Torah. And this evening, we have an opportunity to introduce a classic exposition on one of the greatest, if not the greatest, of all our biblical commentators, Rashi. And it is found in the writings of the Emes Priyaku. And I have to confess that I have found exactly the same theme in the Sichos of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, whose writings on Rashi boggle the imagination, and we'll get around to him, Yirtzeh Hashem, in the fullness of time. My humorous anecdotes about Hasidim and Hasidus should never lead anybody to suspect that I have nothing but the highest regard, especially for the Rebbe, whose sichos on Rashi are owned in Berumo Shalolam. My cousin mentioned he's got one or two sichos which are PhD theses. They are absolutely revelationary. And he comes to the same conclusion as Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, but with that introduction, let us see, at least see what it's all about. So what does Rashi say? The Pasuk tells us that Yehuda comes near and says, because you are like Pharaoh. Isn't that wonderful? You are like Pharaoh. You are a melech. So Rashi has a little to say on this. Choshuv ato b'yenai kemelech. You know what the pshat of those words are? You are in my eyes, you are as important and as respected as a melech. Zehu pshuto. That is the pshat of what Yehuda says to Yosef. What? So far, so good. Says Rashi, umidrosho, but the midrashic interpretation, which I would like to quote, is, you know how you are like Pharaoh? Sofechol ilkosol avitzaras. Your ancestor, Pharaoh, he was smitten with leprosy because of Pharaoh, and you're going to come to a bad end like him. So the pshat is, you're a wonderful guy, and the medrash is a chabaychim board. No, I mean, that's it. Further. In the same way as he got stuck, he was punished with leprosy because he kept Sorrow against the will for one night. You'll keep Binyamin against his will, you're in for trouble. No, let's see what goes on. Ma paro eno gazo gozo viena mekayim, mavtiach viena ose, apatokain. Well, you know what it means. Pharaoh doesn't keep his word. You don't keep his word. You're a liar like he is. Further. Shomarto, how do I know? Because v'chizu he see Masayin. Shomarto l'simei necho alav. All you said to us when you wanted me to bring down Binyamin was, I want to put my eyes on him. But you're a liar. You didn't want to put your eyes on him. You wanted to put him in jail. You don't keep your word. Another interpretation is, what's the resemblance? Imtaknitani. You'll check with me. I'll wipe you and your Pharaoh out. Now look at the Rashi here. So Rashi says the pshat, balabatish. Give them a little covered. They like it. And even if they don't like it, you still got to give it to them. All of a sudden, from the pshat, turns around the medrash. The medrash is caustic. It's aggressive. It's downright insulting. So what's going on? So here we appeal to the Bianca, the Emes Liakov. Please, please take note of this. It's a golden, golden insight. The first four lines are the Rashi as we have read them out. Tzorich livaer, right in the middle of line four. We now need to understand. Impshuto, if the pshat of his words, of Yehuda's words are, choshuv ato b'yenai kemelech, you are as elevated in my eyes as a king. Imkain, if so, lomo bo bale hadrash, why did the rabbis who formulated the Midrash, why did they come to Yomru Ha'epach? Punkt Vaker. The exact opposite of this. Shehisris Kenegdo Kamozil Zulim. And according to the Midrash, not only did he not give him respect, he insulted him. In many ways, you don't keep your word, you're due for a bad end. I answer it. Ubichlal Tzorich Lehovin. A part from which, as a general observation, we are required to understand, Eich yitachein, how is it possible, shahadrash yisnaged el hapshat min hakotze el hakotze? The pshat is balabatish. Choshuv ato b'yenai kemelech. You're a nice guy. And the medrash is mamish at the other end of the spectrum. You're an absolute pain. So what's the meaning of all this? Of all this for them? I would like to explain this to you. I want to introduce you, my friend, says Rabbi Yankel, into an understanding of what Medrash is all about. Ube emes nireh. And I want to explain to you like this. The bechol dibur ve'dibur shelonu yesh lo pshat udrash. When two people speak together, there are two elements in what we say. There are the words that you hear, and the undercurrents of meaning. The pshat is the obvious, and the drash is the layer which is subsumed under the spoken word. The ninkot ledugma. I'll give you an example. Mashomar Yaakov le'Esav. When Yaakov meets Esav in chapter 33, verse 10, what does he say to Esav? Ki al kein ro'isi ponecha. Oh, now that I see your faces, Yaakov to Esav, it's kiros p'nei Elokim v'tirseini. It's like seeing the face of an angel, and you have been gracious to me. Now, says Rashi, Shom alo Yaakov le'Esav. Yaakov says to Esav like this. Re'iyas ponecho chashuvu alai ki re'iyas penei malach. To see you, am I overjoyed? To see you is to like looking at an angel, right? But Rashi has a different theme. V'lomo hizki lo re'iyas hamalach. But why did he use these words? Seeing you is like seeing an angel. Is that all he wanted to say? To see you is like seeing an angel. No, no. What he wanted to say, says Rashi, is Kedesha Yitzyorei. He mentioned these words so that Esau should be afraid. He mentioned the angel. Seeing you is like seeing an angel. You know, the last time I saw an angel was your guardian angel, and I gave him a beating, and you shepherd with me, and you're going to get the same. So he says, Kiriyas Penei Maloch. Those were the words that he said. Yeah, but why did he use those words? There's a sub-level. There's an intimation that you don't recognize in the spoken word, but when you analyze why that particular person has made that particular choice of phrase, then you begin to realize that there is more to what is spoken, like politicians. A, what do they say? And B, what do they mean? It's exactly the same. What did he say, and what did he mean? The pshat is what he said. The medrash is what he meant. So what Rashi is telling us is that Enoch in Ami, the pshat, which is the obvious level of interpretation, gives us the understanding that he wanted to give him some kavod. Mikol mokom od kavona hoyeson isteres b'seich devarav. But there was another meaning hidden in his words. V'hainu, by which I want to say, v'pshuto. If you look at the pshat of what he said, kibdeo, he honored him. Uvim midrasho, and what is midrasho? I.e., kishayachdor lesoch devarav, a person who investigates that little more deeply into what is being said, yisyorei mimeno, will all of a sudden understand that he used those choice of words with something completely else in mind, in order to inform Esav, shaharei rogel hu lehipogesh im malachim. You know, I meet malachim now and again. I'm not somebody to mess around with. So what Rabbi Yankov is telling us is, the pshat and drash exist in every conversation. Would you like some cholent? I'd love another piece. That's the pshat. The drash is, I wish they'd stop annoying me with the stuff. There it is. Okay? So pshat is one thing, all ones, and nothing would give me greater pleasure. And the drash is something completely different. Or the classic example, of course, when Salieri shows Mozart the music and says, what do you think of my music? And Mozart says in the play, I never knew such music was possible. It's wonderful. It's absolutely alma como. And this is it. The pshat is, it's wonderful. And the drash is, the seifzach konishta. So now what we have is, in the speech of the individual, we have pshat and midrash. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zal, and this is his contribution. When Rashi brings the pshat and midrash, the pshat is what is the obvious interpretation, And the Midrash is the insinuations which are being made. But we have to remember, says Rabbi Yankov, that Rashi never brings any comment unless he has a problem in the pasuk. So why didn't Rashi stay with the pshat? Kichamoicho kifaro, balabatish, you are as respected, elevated in my eyes, as Paro. So what moved Rashi to add the other midrashic interpretations? Says Rabbi Yankov, we'll read it through as follows. Ukamo kainitzayana. Let us now consider for a moment. Eicherich Yehudo esoflas paneach biofen hoamiti. What sort of an assessment did Yehuda have of this man whom he didn't know at this moment was Yosef? Deroa lefonov. Yehuda sees in front of him Adam a man, Shebechachmoso levad, who on the basis of his own basic intelligence, Misadeir who es kol kalkeles mitzrayim for hoarotzos misoviv, is managing single-handedly all the supplies of food for Egypt and beyond. And is doing so in such an intelligent and ethically correct way. What does he see further in Yosef? One moment Yosef says, you're all spies, everybody into jail, and I'm only allowing one of you to go free, to go to your father and bring back your other brother. And nevertheless, even though a king or even a second to a pharaoh has no need to rescind a decision, nevertheless, achar gimel yomim, after 3 days, he suggests to them, shekulom yoshuvu abayis, so they can all go home, v'yikichu itom eshever avon boteim, and take back their supplies. V'hizbir lohem, and even says to them, ki yirei Elokim, who I'm a God-fearing man. V'chein b'chol inyono, and in all his conduct, sheherolohem chochmosu, Pharaoh was lucky his father was born before him. But Yosef is a man who's got talent, intelligence. He's a moral and ethical person. So Chazal had a problem. So therefore, now that he comes to plead for Binyamin, and he wants to praise and flatter the fellow as much as he can, surely he should have praised him in the highest possible way. And the best that he could say was, Kicho mocha kefaro. You're in my eyes like Pharaoh. He's a dolt. What sort of a praise is this? Kicho mocha kefaro. Vihevinu mizeh balei amidrash. And the balei amidrash understood, therefore, that his choice of praise is the afalpi shi alpi apshat omar lo shiata choshu b'yenai kemelech. That his choice of phraseology convinced the balei amidrash that even though alpi pshat he was giving him a praise, but the real reason why he was choosing that type of phraseology was because not only did he want to say something outright, but he wanted to intimate themes as well with those words. Says Rabbi Yankov, the Duke Hete, and look into this matter carefully. Kizeh yesod gadol bi'elu bi'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There is no contradiction between Pshat and Medrash. They are not contradicting each other. The Pshat and the Medrash are fulfilling different functions. The Pshat is representing the obvious aspect of what he said, and the Midrash is conveying the layers of nuance that are being alluded to in the same words. That's Pshat and Medrash. So whenever you have in Rashi Pshat and Medrash, Pshat will refer to the aspect of the situation which is obvious, the words you hear, and the Midrash will refer to an aspect of the situation which is hidden, which is being alluded to, and Chazal have put it out in the form of Umidrasho. Let me give you a number of classic examples in Bereshis. Let us go now to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. Devarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam. There is a fight between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Avram Avinu, and they decide to part the way. Right? Says the Pasuk. Vayivcha lo lot eis kol kikar hayardein, and Lot chose for himself the Jordan Valley. Vayisa lot mikedem, and Lot journeyed from the east. Vayiporedu ishmei alochi. Says Rashi, mikedem. What does it mean? Zokta nosa mei eitzel Avram imizrocho, for holach lo lamar ovo shel Avram. He went from where Abraham was, which was in the east, and he journeyed to the west of Abram. Nimsa nosea mimizroch lamayrov. So what is he doing? He's going from east to west. Says Rashi, o medrish agoda, he sia etzmo mikadmono shel olam. The word kedem means the ancient one of days. Vayisa lot mikedem, Lot went away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar, he said, I afshi, I don't want lo be Avram, the lo be Lakov, neither Abram nor his God. When you see Lot journeying, the pshat is that he's journeying from east to west. Because the pshat always describes the obvious aspect of the situation. And the obvious aspect of the situation is that Lot nemt a pekel mitten sekel, and he's moving. Vayisa lot mikedem. The Medrash is telling you, this is not just a question of geography. A man like Lot, who can leave a saintly and pious uncle like Avram Avinu for the sake of a few sheep, is making a move which is not geographical in nature, but theological. He is moving away. He sia atzmo mikadmono shalolam. So here again, the klal of Rabbi Yanke, the pshat is describing the journey as we see it. The Medrash is disclosing a theme in his journey which is not obvious, but which Chazal knew, either as Rabbi Yankov says elsewhere, Beruach HaKodesh, or because they were able to understand the use of words in the Torah. Move back a pasuk. Vayisa lot eseinov, vayares kol kikar hayadein kichulo mashke. When it was a question of where he should journey to, now that they're going to part their ways, so Lot lifts up his eyes and he sees the Jordan Valley. It's completely irrigated. Lifnei shachis Hashem mesedom v'yasamolo kegan Hashem kiyeret v'tzayim po'achot soar. Ah, fertile beyond imagination. So you look at this pasuk and you say to yourself, why did Lot choose to go and live in the place where he lived, in Sodom? Because it's agriculturally magnificent. It's the most fertile place you can pick. Says Rashi, Boachot Soar, it's fertile ad Soar until you come to Soar. Umedrish Agado Dorashol Ignai. And the Medrish Agado interprets this entire Pasuk Yud in the disgrace of Lot. And says, you know why he picked that particular spot? Al Shahayusha Tufezima, because the people who lived there were immoral. Bochalolot b'shechunosom. And so it is related in the Gemara. In Parshas Vayigash, follow carefully, please. In Parshas Vayigash, we spoke about the obvious and the implied in speech. Kichomocha kefaro. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, we spoke about the obvious and implied in movement. What Rashi is saying here now is that even when a person makes decisions, he is conscious of certain considerations which led him to that decision. But there are also other sub-themes which are part of his unconscious, which are leading him to make those decisions, which he might even be unaware of at the time. A la Freud. So you are saying to me, says Rashi, that he chose it because it was fertile, and that's the pshat, because he's looking. I gotta tell you, a person who knew what the people of Sodom were like wouldn't go there for £1,000,000, no matter how fertile. Is if he chose to go there, there must have been an added attraction of which he most probably wasn't even aware of himself. And that is Umedrish Agada. The Medrash Agoda in the realms of decision-making is to teach you that there are considerations of which you are aware when you make a decision, and considerations of which you are not even aware. And a person who can say to the people of Sodom, don't go near my guests, for here are two of my daughters, we understand what this Rashi is all about. In other words, he had a certain tendency towards these particular matters, which were not pshat. They were not the obvious part of his decision making, but they were certainly medrash agod. And there are a number of other examples which we will come across as we go through the various psukim, but it's a klal gadol in Rashi. There is no difference, there is no chas v'sholom contradiction between pshat and midrash. Pshat is the obvious of the activity, and the medrash is the sub-level, the layers which are. It's a dover gadol. Go back to the first pasuk of Vayigash again. Now. Says Yehuda, I want to say something. And what does he say? I was imagining, I go through the psukim, I'm looking for something new, mitigating arguments. We want to bring Binyamin back, we can't let him stay here. And I look through the psukim, and what does I see there? Oh, he had two sons, and one of them is lost, and Yaakov doesn't want to let the other one go, and we came back, and we said, if you don't let him go, we can't get food. He goes over the same mice all over again. There's nothing new. Not one word is new in what Yehuda has to say to Yosef. In all these psukim. And we said, if you don't let him go down, we can't go back. He refused to see us. We can't. So what is the whole purpose of Yehuda drawing near to Yosef and saying to him, I want to speak to you. Because he doesn't tell him anything new. Says the Beis HaLevi. You haven't got it, I'll just say it over. We'll go back to Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Tes. Mem Beis Pasuk Tes. Follow carefully. Dvorim Nifloim. When Joseph sees the brothers, he remembers his dreams and he says to them, Maraglim atem, you are spies. No. So what do they say? Pasuk Yud, no. We came to buy food. We're all brothers, the son of one man. We've never been spies. So what does he reply? No. You've come to see the nakedness of the land. But they said, we come to buy food. No, you come to spy. Then they said, you know what? We're 12 brothers. One of them is at home and one of them is gone. And Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Yosef, exactly what I said to you. You're spies. What sort of a conversation is it? He says, you're spies. No, we've come here to buy food. Exactly. That's what I just said. You're spies. It's a conversation between intelligent people. Says the Beis HaLevi. I mean, the greatest explanations are the simplest. Says the Beis HaLevi, when they heard this conversation going on, they are not getting a reply to what they are maintaining. They maintain they've come down to buy food, and they're just, exactly! They're spies, that's what I just said. So the brothers all of a sudden realized there's something going wrong here. And the only conclusion they could come to was, Ki Hamelitz Beino Sam. The interpreter was interpreting between the brothers and Yosef. So the Melech Hadach Gemacht Kala. He was contorting the whole thing. That's what they were convinced. That they were saying one thing, the interpreter is up there with some Egyptian garbage, and nobody was going on. By the time it came back, it had nothing at all to do with what they'd said. So Yehuda, at the back of the mind, had the impression, Ki Hamelitz Beinaisam, the interpreter was the one who was distorting everything. Is Vayigash Elav Yehuda, and Yehuda draws near to him, Vayomer Bi Adoni, Yedaber Avdecha Dovar, Biyaznei Adoni. I'd like to speak a few words in your ear, please. Get rid of this Melitz. He should join the ranks of the etc. So Yedaber no Avdecha Dovar Biyaznei Adoni. In other words, we don't want the Melech. because we are convinced that the Melech has made the whole thing wrong. And that's the chiddush in the whole first parsha of Vayigash, that it's the first time that one of the brothers addresses Yosef without the benefit of a Melech. I, Zofta, maybe you don't understand Lashon HaKodesh. Zofta, ki chamoicha ki faro. Nobody can be a ruler in Egypt without knowing all the languages of the nations around about. So therefore, there's no telling me that you don't know it, because that's part of your qualifications for the job. Okay. So now that we've had a look at the first pasuk, we'll make a move. Okay. Yeah. Now what happens? We find here that Yosef makes himself known to his brothers. And he sends back wagons to his father. And let's move now to Perek Memhe. Perek Memhe, Pasuk Chavzayim. Some lovely inyonim here. So the brothers come back. It's interesting, before I move on to that, it's interesting to say just one word here which just comes to my mind. There is a hesped. I didn't mention it last year. If I did, you'll have to excuse me. When Yosef makes himself known to his brothers, he says to them, Maharu ba'alu el avi, go up to my father and say to him, so says your son Yosef, Somani Elokim li'odon l'chol Mitzrayim, he has made me an Odon, a master over Egypt, and also has mentioned, let me just find the pasuk here. Yes, pasuk Ches. V'yatolo atem shilachtem osi heinoki elokim. You didn't send me, your God did. V'yisimeni liyov lefaro, and he made me for a father to Pharaoh. Ulaadon lechol beso, and a master over all his household. Umosheil v'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and I rule over the land of Egypt. The last statement, says the Chasam Sofer, is a lie. He's not the ruler over Egypt. Pharaoh is. And yet, when the brothers come back to Yaakov, they said to him, Pasuk Chavav, Vayagidu lo lemor, Od Yosef chai, v'chi hu Mosheil v'chol eretz Mitzrayim. The only thing they mention about Yosef is he's Mosheil v'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Says the Chasam Sofer, in a hesped over of Yosef David Zinsheim, who was the head of Napoleon's Sanhedrin, he's been a gone awesome. Says the Chasam Sofer like this: Yosef knows that Yaakov does not want to see him because he's been a success. He's made it, as they say in the Goyshka world. He's only interested in seeing him if he's still Jewish. You go to my father, says the Chasam Sofer, explaining Yosef's words, and say to him, Vayisimeni liyov lefaro, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. Ula odon lechol beso, and a master over all his house. Umosheil b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, but I rule over Egypt. Egypt doesn't rule over me. I'm still Jewish. Umosheil b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. I haven't been assimilated. The fact that I'm outnumbered by how many millions to one. That's why when the brothers go back and they say, v'chihu Umosheil b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, that's all Yaakov wants to hear. He wants to hear that he's a millionaire. He wants to hear that he has influential friends, that people stand up for him when he walks in. He wants to hear Umosheil b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, es geblieben ayit. And that is why when he hears this, he says, Vayofog libo ki lo hemin lahem. How can a father believe that a son can be taken away at the age of 17 into a part of the world which was known as the nakedness of the land? It was such an immoral and corrupt place. And a boy like that can grow up and can become the highest in the land and not have to make compromises and capitulations. So to Vayofog libo ki lohem in lohem. He didn't believe it. So it's something well worth remembering. He mentioned it because of Rabbi Yosef David Zinsheim, who was a man who was chosen by Napoleon to head his Sanhedrin. And we would have immediately thought that he's ever a lefty. He got caught up with one of these sort of nouveau, whatever it is. Says of Yankov, says of Chasam Sofer up there, they gave him kavod, and the derech eretz that he received from royalty was extraordinary. V'chihu Moshel Mechaleres B'Saim. But Yosef David Zinsheim was Moshel Mechaleres B'Saim. Hazeshtet HaHespet. Let's see. So what does the Pasuk say? V'yedabru Elov is called Divrei Yosef Asher Iber Aleihem V'yaresu Agolos Asher Sholach Yosef Loseisoso V'techi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. Right? He saw the Agolos. What's the Agolos? Why would that uplift his heart? Says Rashi, on the words, Eis kol divrei Yosef, Simen mosar lahem, Bameh hoya ose, Kishepiresh mimenu, Beparshas eglo arufa. By sending him the wagons, he reminded him that when they parted company, they were studying the laws of eglo arufa, of the body that's found in between two towns, and we don't know who killed him, so the town which is nearest has to bring a calf and break its neck over a cliff, etc. And when he saw these agolos, he remembered the parsha of Eglo Arufo, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. The parsha of Eglo Arufo brought him back to life. The shaila is, why? Why would the laws of Eglo Arufo bring Yaakov Avinu back to life? I came across something, it's not pshat, but it is so gorgeous I couldn't go over. I couldn't pass over. It's in the Kli Yoker. You have to know that the Kli Yoker was one of the greatest poskim of his age. And none of his Piskei Halacha have remained. The only items that remain are his Kli Yoker and other Sifrei Drush, which he composed when the doctor told him to take a rest. He was working too hard, and he had to go away somewhere and to relax. And as a result of his relaxation, we have the Kli Yoker and the Olas Ephraim and the Hira Giborim. And these are the items that have remained. Says the Kli Yoker al HaTorah, in referring to his volume, Olas Ephraim, Ma'amar Tov Kuf Lamed Gimel, why is it that the Eglo Arufo gave him a new lease of life? V'arnu. We explain there what Yaakov, the theme that Yaakov took from the Eglo Arufo at this moment. Kilomad min parshas Eglo Arufo she Yosef Chai. He immediately concluded from the parsha of Eglo Arufo that Yosef must be alive. Why? Now follow. Kichemo shemodid imidido gashmis. Because in the same way as we physically measure, liros le'eze ir korov hecholol, to find out which is the nearest city to the corpse, Vilitlos Ha'avon, the Osa'ir, and therefore to suspect that the murderer came from that city. In the same way, says the Kli Yoker, Kach, similarly, Modidin Hashara Umedido Sichlis. We are obliged to make mental measurements. Be'eza Avonis. Why did this person die? Imba Avon Atzmo, was it because of his own sin? Imba Avon Krovov, was it because of the sins of relatives? Obi Avon B'neiro, or was it because of the sins of his fellow citizens? Umi Shehu Korov B'Yoser El Hecholol Litlos Bo Hutzorech Kapor. So the Kli Yoker, so beautifully. The union of the Eglo Arufo is in the same way as you've got to measure physically what is the nearest town. Therefore, it is most likely that the murderer comes there. From there, similarly, you have to make calculations as to what is the sin which brought him out about the demise of this individual. What is the most likely, the nearest? Is it because he himself was sinful? Or is it because his family was sinful? Or is it because the city is sinful as a result of which one of their number was killed? And when you find out what is the most likely, they also have to bring a kapora. If it's the deceased himself, he can't. If it's the krovim, then they have to bring a kapora. If it's the city. So in other words, everything revolves around calculation. You have to calculate physically what is the town nearest to the murder person, and you have to make a mental calculation and measurement what is the nearest cause to the demise of this individual. And that's what Yaakov took out from the parsha of Eglo Arufo. Al Kain Sholach Lo Yosef Parsha Eglo Arufo. Therefore Yosef sent him the Parsha of Eglo Arufo. Kedesha Mitocha Yisponein Yaakov, so that Yaakov himself could make a cheshbon. Because the inyan of Eglo Arufo requires the individual to make a mental calculation as to what is the likely cause of a particular situation. And therefore Yaakov, through the Parsha of Eglo Arufo, would be moved to consider Eizachet Goram Lo Yaakov Liyos Betzar Kol Hayomim Alalu. which would cause Yaakov to meditate and contemplate, why have I been all these years with such sadness? Ve'yichapes, as a result of which he would search into his own history, ve'yimso, and he would discover, shezehu hachet shegoram lo, that the only sin, the most likely sin for which he was deprived of Yosef for all these years, is because he himself, shelo kiyei mitzvas kibud avoim kofbeis shono, and because he didn't honor his parents for 22 years. Goram lo lihiyos betzar zeh kofbeis shono, shelo yeh mechubad gam humi b'no hechovev lo b'yosef. So when he would meditate and discover that that must be the reason why Yosef was taken away from him, he would come to the conclusion that Yosef is alive. Because if Yosef would be dead, he would suffer longer than 22 years, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays midah keneged midah. So when he meditated on the Eglav Arufa, which is the idea of contemplating what is the most likely source of the situation in which he finds himself, he would come to the conclusion that Yosef must be alive. Umizeh hisponen shevada Yosef chai. Ki ilo hoyomeis, because if he were dead, im kein yihye Yaakov v'tzar zeh Yosef min chof peishono, v'yispol Yosef or yeser al mashechoto, v'lo yihye ha'onish midah keneged midah. Because had he been dead, he would have been being punished more than 22 years, and that would not be midah keneged midah. Lokach therefore, ki shero'oho agolos, when he saw the wagons, v'nizkar leparshas eglo arufo, and he remembered the parsha of Eglav Arufa and all the attendant themes which have been mentioned above, miyad immediately, vatechi ruach Yaakov avihem, he immediately was restored to life, because he realized that if the Eglav Arufa has those themes, which means I have to decide why it is that I was deprived of Yosef for all these years, I must come to the conclusion that he can be away from me no longer than 22 years. Is vatechi ruach Yaakov avihem. The Netziv we leave over for another time. Let me just mention to you before we conclude this evening's session, next week in Mirza Hashem, because I will be away in the States for a couple of weeks, we are having our shiur on Monday next, when we will be doing Parshas Vayechi, and then we will be meeting in Mirza Hashem Thursday week, which is the 19th, and our Parsha then will be Shemos. And then there will be a break for 3 weeks, and when we return in Mirza Hashem on the 9th of January, which is also a Thursday, there will be a 2-hour session, one for Va'era and one for Bo, which will commence at 8 p.m. So next Monday, Mirza Hashem, next Thursday, Mirza Hashem, and Thursday, January the 9th, Mirza Hashem, at the earlier time of 8 o'clock. Jerry, I'd like to say a word.